we take things so personal that it can potentially put a strain on our relationship. Now we're bitter, mm-hmm. and we're reluctant to do certain things, what have you. So it was like, my prayer was, God, please guide me in a way that I have no regrets as a parent.
Hey everyone, this is Matt Wagstaff, and welcome to the Live Long and Prosper podcast, where I discuss a number of topics related to living a life of balance, abundance, and happiness. Much of what I share on this podcast is related to personal development, business, and financial literacy. I hope that this podcast is adding a tremendous amount of value to you, your loved ones, the community at large, and I hope that you will share this podcast with as many people as you know that will add value to their lives. I hope you enjoy this episode. Well, thank you again. I appreciate you for just taking the time and really digging into this topic, this important topic, fatherhood and why it matters. And so as customary on the Live Long and Prosper podcast, if you wouldn't mind, for anyone who does not know who James Woodruff is, can you please let them know who you are?
All right. Well, I'm James Woodruff Jr. and from Buffalo. Been living in Charlotte, North Carolina for almost 17 years now. I am a father of one. She'll actually be 25 next month.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I know, right?
Wow.
Father of one. That's it. That's my baby. One and done. What else? Lead and mentor high school and middle school students. Been doing that for going on 8 years now, where it's basically just kind of connecting them, building their relationship with Christ, and just providing some structure for them, teaching them brotherhood and things of that manner. And ultimately, you know, just to let them see that there's somebody in their life that cares for them, is going to hold them accountable outside of their parents. So been doing that for about 7 years. And then I began and I guess creator, if you will, of CIA Dads about a year and a half ago. So yeah. The intent behind that is really just a support group where just like-minded fathers come together. Doesn't matter of what your situation is. You can be married father, divorced father, single father, you know, five kids, you know, one, no matter how old you are, mm-hmm. you know. But the thing is that everything that I'm naming, that's what's in our group. Mm-hmm. You know, and the one unique thing that I can appreciate and I always praise is, you know, when we first started the group in October mm-hmm. of 2019, there was a guy that did not miss a meeting, and he was yet to even be a father. He wasn't mm-hmm. having his child until April. So, you know, you look at it, he's in there 6 months, you know, just kind of being a sponge, man. But, you know, it ranged from that to, you know, older guys having toddlers, some having, you know, older children, whatever, man. But it's basically just a support group for fathers to come. It's difficult for men, whether it's just the pride, the lack of communication that we have, to be vulnerable and just kind of put stuff out there and help. So, you know, with that and a wide variation of father that's on there, you know, it's just, you can't help but have, you know, some type of support, somebody that's, yeah. that's been through it before, haven't gone through it, or even if you haven't, you know, you have the potential to. So, you know, just kind of being able, being fit for those situations as they arise. But other than that, man, civil engineer by trade, work as a design manager for an automotive group, been doing that for almost 3 years as well. And I don't know.
Yes. Anything oh, else? My God. No, man, I think that's enough right there to dive in a little bit deeper on. You know, shout out to the engineers, Hutch Tech in the building. Appreciate that.
Sure.
A little plug in there. But yeah, 25 years. Oh my God. I remember back in the day. Oh my gosh, 25 years. Man, that journey has to have been like amazing for you. I mean, you could probably write a book on that journey, 25 years.
Yeah. I mean, it was a lot, man. I mean, even from, you know, being a 15-year-old father and trying to still, you know, somewhat provide or a path, I should say. I guess early on, it wasn't necessarily providing a life for, you know, right. really not much I can do as a 15-year-old, but it was more so aligning a path for her.
Yeah.
Already going to the best high school in Buffalo, that was kind of, you know, a given, but, you know, just kind of making sure that she has some good footsteps to follow.
Yeah.
Whether or not, you know, she follow follow it directly, but just kind of having her have something where she can look up to and look forward to. Not one of those, well, my dad or, you know, my mom, they, I didn't really have anything to look forward to. You know, mm-hmm. they dropped out, they were sorry, they were this, they were that. So that's why, you know, I am, you know, who I am today is what some children succumb to, even though they ultimately they have their own decisions, you know, they can make after a while.
Absolutely.
But nonetheless, man, it was just trying to align and find a, make sure I'm providing a path for her. And then, you know, also aligning myself with the right people to where I can be equipped and just try to be the best father I can be.
Yeah,
so it was certainly a little difficult and foggy, you know, early on, as you can imagine.
Yeah, I mean, kudos to you. I mean, not only graduating high school, graduating college, you know, and being as successful as you are. I mean, it's just amazing and all the things that you're doing in her life. And I see it from a distance, the love that you two have for each other, which is amazing. I mean, I can imagine your feeling at 15, hearing the news that you will be a dad, and then just sort of saying, all right, this is what it is. You know, we're going to make it happen. And then 25 years later, being where you are now. And so I would love for you to maybe even share now, kind of going back into that time. Because with me, Madison, she will be 19 in August. And so I'm 19 or almost 20 years older than her. You got 15 years older than your daughter. And so y'all walk outside and it's like, yeah, that's my big brother, basically.
Right.
Or y'all look more like siblings.
Yeah.
That's how it is for me in Madison. And so I'm curious about, you know, how that dynamic plays out with you being so close in age. It's still that respect of, you know, this is still my dad, and how do you handle sort of that closeness in age?
From a parenting perspective or a respect perspective, I don't think the age had no bearing on it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that we've both established, like, I'm your father, like that's that. I don't think the age had anything to do with it. But I think it also a lot of attributes to my mother and just my family in general. You know, if it wasn't for my mom, like, I don't know what, because Jada was, a lot of people don't know this, Jada wasn't even born in Buffalo. She was born in Michigan. And I didn't see her the first 2 weeks she was born. And, you know, they came to Buffalo and it was just, you know, it was history after that. But nonetheless, man, just the support from my mom and my family. So to your point, you know, having heard that, it's just like, dang, all right. Like, what am I going to do? I mean, as you know, I played 3 sports and I remember going to my mom and was like, I quit. Like, I'm not, football's done, basketball's done. I'm not running track. I'm getting a job. And I remember to this day, she was like, no, you're not. You're going to be a 15-year-old child. You just make sure you continue to make me proud. Mm-hmm. And I don't know exactly what she said in regards to Jada, but, you know, it just kind of goes back to me saying, creating a path for her. And it was just like, you're not working. I just remember, I know you remember AIDS Community Services, Western Europe across the street. Yeah, so we volunteered there and then they started paying us and I tried to hide it because she said that I couldn't work. And one day they sent a check home and I got in trouble for working, you know, but touche, but nonetheless, man, it was weird, you know, kind of then, but at the same time, it was encouraging because, you know, I mean, it wasn't as if I was just a dumb student or a dumb jock to begin with, but I think it also just pushed me to excel even further.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's times that I, you know, reminisce back where, you know, I'm coming home from practice and I'm doing work and she's in the bouncy, you know, in the door and, you know, falling asleep or what have you, man. I mean, those are the memories that I have, but it pressed me to continue to go forward. College, me not going to college was not an option. It was just whether or not I was going to go away or stay at home. But college in itself was important too, to where she's able to come on campus. She's able to see what, you know, what her father looks like, you know, being in college. You know, it didn't take but about a year or so having to deal with the looks and the stigma on, you know, being a young father, young black father and all that stuff or whatever, because like it didn't matter. Like what other people thought didn't even matter. Like I'm pressing forward, you know, I'm going to defy the odds of, you know, what generally what people would think. And I'm going to be the best father that I know how to be, especially with what I had. So when I talk about my mom and the difference, the age difference, like it didn't matter because I believe I possess these morals and values that came from my mom, that it doesn't matter what, you know, the age difference between Jada and I. And those morals and values were the things that I harped on, you know, raising her in general.
Yeah.
And I didn't waver from them as much as, you know, we kind of thought about, because our relationship wasn't all that great. And it's kind of like, oh, you know, if I can just get her to like me and all that. But it was like, not like all that stuff is that's one under the bridge. I'm gonna be your father first, I'm gonna be your friend second.
Yeah, that's a huge part too, especially when you have such a close age. I know for me, sometimes I struggle with, or I used to struggle with that whole friendship sort of thing. And I got pretty clear of myself rather quickly around, no, dad first. Maybe we become friends over time, but at the end of the day, the respect is the most important thing, at least for me, in that space. And I think I hear you saying that loud and clearly. And when you talk about setting the path forward for her, you know, having that vision at such a young age to be able to set that path for her, I mean, that's commendable. I think there's a lot of young men who could probably see you and really get a lot of inspiration from your path. And I'm sure through your men's group and the other things that you do externally, you're probably leading a lot of people who may be observing from the distance, from how you carry yourself and how you treat your daughter and how you've helped to mold her into the woman she is today. And so I'm curious about, you know, other than the support that you received from your mom, what's one other maybe a piece of advice or just something for a young dad to consider, let's say a teenage dad that's listening right now, what would you share with them?
Don't allow society or even the notion that because you're a young father, you can't make it happen. Mm-hmm. You know, and then I guess I'll go even further with that. So my situation is not only that I was a young father, but I didn't grow up with my father. Mm. So oftentimes, and especially in the Black community in general, you know, young men, and I'm saying this because this is what's been read, this is what's been reported, this is what I've heard.
Yeah.
It's kind of like young Black men without their fathers. They feel like, well, they weren't there for me, so why do I need to be there for them? And it's sad, but once again, just like some older fathers, we're asking them to do something they don't know how to do.
Mm.
So with men being so prideful, it's kind of like, I'm not about to step into this and fail, you know what I look like. But that's them listening to society and things of that manner, and not looking to, not being encouraged to press forward with that. But also a lot of that too can also be their upbringing. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if they don't have the support, not to say that if my mom didn't support me, oh, I'd be a horrible father. You know, that would never be the case. However, it's like, what are these other young men? What are their backgrounds like? You know, I mean, who's in their ear? Who mm-hmm. do they see every day?
Yeah.
You know, that's why it's imperative that us as men, and especially us as Black men, that we're reaching out in the community to where they could see something positive, that they could see something consistent, because that's part of the issue in general. These young men, they're not seeing anything consistent.
Mm.
You know, they just, you know, pop up here, pop up there, and not necessarily even the face, but consistent morals and values,
mm.
right? So, you know, telling a young male, young Black male, young teen, whatever today, they come across, that's in a situation where they're about to be a father, like, press forward. You know what I mean? Everything that might be, that you might consider to be negative in your childhood, make that a positive in your fatherhood. Mm-hmm. Now we can go a whole nother route with that piece within itself, because I'm also going to tell you, don't overcompensate for that either.
But nonetheless,
you know, get the right people in your corner that's gonna press forward with you to be that, you know, great father, great young father.
Yeah,
you don't have to do it by yourself. And I think sometimes too, just us in general as adults, we want to take some things like head on as if we got to do it by ourselves, and we don't. Like life was not designed for us to do by ourselves. Mm. I don't care how blessed you are. I don't care how spiritual you are. I don't care how strong you think you might be. This life we live in is not meant for us to do by ourselves. Mm. That doesn't necessarily mean your significant other, your wife, husband, whatever the case is, but somebody in your corner.
Yeah, we are absolutely social creatures that need the relationship of others. And so mm-hmm. those folks who are kind of like loners, and to a certain extent, I like to call myself a quasi loner, even though I love being around the folks who give me energy.
100% with you, man.
You know, it's like, I like being by myself, but when it's time to get around some good people to give me some good energy, I appreciate that and I value it. But I also know how to, like, all right, time to dial it back and let me get back into my space. I need my head.
Get social introvert.
That's it. Is it like ambivert or something like that they call it? Yeah. I don't know what it is. But you talked about that consistent showing up consistently. You talk about consistent values and then having that network and so of people who can support you through that journey. And so commend you on the CIA Dads group. I think that's an amazing group. I'm trying to figure out how I can get tapped into that group.
I'll in, man.
I'll in. On Zoom, maybe I can get in there. I don't know.
It is. It's no membership, no nothing, man. I give you Zoom ID.
You know, but yeah, definitely would love to get tapped into there because just trying to just stay connected with dads and get some tips. I think, again, you put a good point out there about us as Black men too, the pride that we have, and sometimes you just kind of want to figure it out on our own. And so I think that's a huge opportunity there for us to get together and learn from each other. And so when you think about being consistently or showing up consistently in our child's life, you know, what do you think is the value of having a consistent father in a child's life? And what have you experienced, if anything, that you can share? Because I think that we get caught up in the sometimes you get so many single moms out and the dad is sort of, well, if he's there or not there, the child is going to be fine at the end of the day. And I don't know if that's always the case. I think there may be some exceptions to the rule, but I would love your perspective on the consistent father figure in the house, even though you didn't have that growing up. But I just would love your perspective on that.
I want to clarify on this. And I feel the need to clarify on this because maybe a couple of years from now, I don't want to paint a picture that's not true. So I had a father, my stepfather, in the house. Mm. My biological father was not in the house. However, my stepfather wasn't a father figure. He was there, right? Like, I mean, he helped pay with bills. I mean, I can't say, did he teach me something like valuable? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I mean, my mother didn't drive, so he was her transportation. He never put a hand on me. You know, I actually had a conversation with my mom, like, was this some type of agreement that you guys, you know, had? I mean, he never chastised me. It was like nothing. Like, he was there.
Gotcha.
So when I say I didn't have a father figure, that's what I mean by that.
Gotcha.
And then, of course, we all, you know, yearn for it to have our biological father in our lives, and that creates some other things, you know, within itself. So with that being said, though, the importance of having a consistent or being a consistent father is imperative because your child, without it, they can grow up creating different things for themselves. But, you know, it's something that they can depend on, lean on. It can also be a fault, so to speak. But as children, we have to remember that they need us. You know, I say it all the time as a joke, but this is exactly how I feel. When they're a child and they're in our homes, mm-hmm. that's when I'm under contract. All right. When they leave, now I'm a consultant. Mm. So they need the care. They need the nourishment, not necessarily, you know, food, but the nourishment of the mind, the love. They need to see that because when they go out in the real world, especially our young women, it's kind of like what they lacked, they're trying to go for and other men and don't quite know what that's supposed to look like. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? At least we're consistent at painting some type of picture of what it should look like.
Yeah.
But to your point of sometimes fathers not being around, that can be a benefit too, because every father is not a good father. Mm. So that's another story, you know, within itself as well.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, man, I mean, the consistency is there because they need somebody that's dependable. You know,
right.
They're children for a reason. Like, there's different laws and things for a reason on why you can't make decisions, you know, at 16 or at, you know, you have to be 18 or 21 because they don't have the mental capacity. And for us as their parents, our contract, so to speak, is that's what we're standing in the gap for. So I want that whenever my child needs something, I'm there, whether or not I give it to them.
Yeah.
That's something else, but they know that I'm there.
Yeah. And so, no, that's huge in terms of just the general nature of parenthood. And I like that analogy about being on contract and then being a consultant. I think I'm shifting more toward into the consulting realm. And that's another topic that we'll talk about in a minute, about some of the struggles of letting go at that age, especially when you've been with them and they've been with you for the majority of your life too, right? So that's a whole nother, that's another piece that we'll get to in just a second. But I wanted to talk about specifically the male figure. So whether it's biological dad or not, but having that male figure consistently in the life, specifically, you know, of a young woman, and even that of a young man, but you could probably speak more so to the young woman because you have a daughter. Mm-hmm. And so having that consistent figure in their life, not necessarily met in the house per se, but in their life consistently, you know, that value that you see in that.
I think it's essential, man. And because even though as strong as my mom, I have the best mom in the world, you know, single mom, raising four children, you know, every parent's going to have their faults and, you know, this, that, and the other that we as children don't quite like or understand. But of course we start to understand as we're raising our own, as we become adults. But, you know, no woman can really teach a boy how to be a man. You know, they can do their best, but there's still going to be some things just missing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? In the same way that I can't particularly teach Jada how to be, you know, a woman. Yeah, we were together for 4 years, you know, me, but there's still an element just kind of missing. Mm-hmm. Even outside of that, no matter how much a mom does for her son, I mean, you got some cases where, like, moms killed it. You know what I mean? It's still ultimately not their father, but moms killed it. My mom is one of them. But as a young boy, there's just a manhood that we yearn for. Mm-hmm. And a mother, no matter how well you're doing as a mom, there's still some type of manly just grasp, just yeah. hope.
It's the energy. That it's we, a different that type we of need. Energy that you
know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So it's for me, it was football. Mm-hmm. And I started playing football when I was 6. That's pretty much all we knew. You know, out in Langfield, man, it was, if we weren't at football practice, we were playing football. You know, out at 18 and, you know, just kind of doing football leagues or what have you. But, you know, I look back on it as a parent, or even as I, you know, got older, it was kind of like, not only did I love football and the whole team aspect of things, but that was really only where I saw males, men that cared about me. Mm. To what extent, you know, we can go, that's something different, but I genuinely felt like they cared about me. They cared about what I did. I had something to prove to, you know what I'm saying, a male.
Yeah.
So regardless of how well a mom raises her son or a father raises his daughter, there's still something missing from that other gender that the child could have. But nonetheless, having that presence, something to go to, like all the people that I'm talking about, man, I can name them. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I can name them. And I mean, even going through high school with Coach Rich, talking to him yesterday.
What?
It's like,
oh my gosh.
Oh yeah. You know, he had a very instrumental part of my life. Mm. You know what I mean? My who became my godfather, again, coaching, playing for Little League, switched teams, end up like vibing and, you know, with his family. And we're inseparable. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, he definitely had a tremendous part, you know, in my life, especially through college. And I mean, even raising Jada as an adult, there was time that, you know, I'll call him and talk to him about certain things. And, you know, it kind of steered me around, gave me a different perspective, you know what I'm saying, as well. So just kind of having that male guidance, man, like it's there. And when you talk about consistency, whenever I needed a call, he was there. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes it's not necessarily something that they do outside of the action of listening. That's all we need.
Yeah, that's amazing. Oh my God, you brought up Coach Rich. Wow. Oh my gosh. Now I got to go on Facebook and find him real quick and send him a note. Yeah. That's amazing. And then, yeah.
But I did want to speak on the effects that it can have on females. So generally, you know, you hear it, it's not always accurate, but they say that, you know, a young girl their search for a man is going to be what their father emulate, the good father emulate. Mm-hmm. So whether or not that's to the T, there's still some mannerisms and different things that comes from the father that she's looking for. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If you as a father never taught her that, hey, these doors should be open for you, teaching, if you as a father is not upholding the structure of a man and what a man should look like, what are you providing for her to look like? Yeah. You're not setting the bar at any point. Just like anything else in life, they stray, that's fine, but at least I know I set the bar.
Right.
You know, and I try my best to set it high. So what they're doing in that, what does it look like? What does it feel like to be loved, right, from a man? And oftentimes, if it's not done well, then to them, love might be X. Love might be this. Love might be that. And they're missing that beat because they didn't have that consistency at home with the father.
Yeah. So the role modeling aspect, and it can be a challenge, for, especially when you got a young man who is essentially learning it as he goes, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. If he doesn't have that role model. So that can be a challenge for sure. I know that, you know, this is a process and it is always an evolution. We're going to make some mistakes, but that consistency, at least they know the core of who you are, even if you may slip up here or there. Knowing that core belief of who you are, what you stand for, what a man should be, how we should be treating another woman, I think is critical. And you talked about setting the stage, and if they stray, they stray, which leads me to the question that I had earlier around the letting go aspect of it and the challenges of letting go as they get older. And so whether it's a boy or a girl, you spend this time trying to nurture and trying to set the stage, trying to be the role model, trying to plant all these seeds that you hope will catch root and blossom into these beautiful outcomes. But at the end of the day, I think you even said that this is their life. And it's not my life, it's not your life, it's their life. And I know I've struggled and still struggle to this day with, I've been telling you this stuff for years. And why are we not like, you just, you know, everybody got a different alarm clock. It's going to go off when they need to go off. But then you got to know just to say, listen, you got to have your mistakes like I have my mistakes. And so I'm curious about your perspective and how you've dealt with sort of letting go now that you have a 25-year-old, you know, child. So
it was, I want to say it was tough, Matt, but it's not as tough as, for me, it wasn't as tough as people might think it is. Because I created some things early on that made it less difficult for me.
Okay.
So with all that being said, a lot of people don't know, Jade and I did not have the best relationship. When she was in middle school, she gave me hell. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I had her full time. She would go back to her mom here and there, but you're also dealing with the fact that your parents aren't together. You go from one household is this, you go to another household is this. The structure, you know what I'm saying, for me, it's gonna be there. Mm-hmm. So all that being said, Matt, I started to develop a mindset that made it less difficult for me then. So even in middle school, and again, this is where I was just like, I can't do this by myself. And I was like, God, I give up. Not giving up is like I'm throwing my hands up, but I give up doing this by myself. I need your help. Mm-hmm. Like, help me. Guide me through this. So I remember writing God a letter, and I was praying for myself. I prayed for her, and I prayed for her mother. I just prayed for our overall situation, that he would continue to show me the way, that I would have an open mind and open heart to be corrected, because generally speaking, oftentimes as parents, oh, it's my way or your way, mm-hmm. you know, type ordeal. Mm-hmm. And especially with the society and the generation that we live in now, we have to be a little bit more open to those things. Nobody, I'm not saying jeopardize or compromise your morals and values, because that's the foundation. But some of the other things that we might say, well, I didn't get this until this, so you're not doing that. Well, we didn't have that until then. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's a little bit different, you know, in saying that. So with that, it was also what I alluded to earlier, where I was just like, I'm not breaking my morals and values. I'm going to be your father first, your friend second, whenever that happens, right? And I think we're sharing that friendship now, mm-hmm. right? However, 12 years later or whatever, right? But the one thing that I said, man, is you can hate me now, but you're going to thank me later.
Yep.
And my prayer was that, God, regardless on how I feel, and this is something else I talk about often, just talk about it at brunch the other day. This is, if you can get to this young in your parent, early on in your parenting, I think it could save you a lot of stress and heartache. The one thing that I got to and was like a stress reliever was, don't take it personal.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes as parents, because we're your parent and because we're giving you this, the simple, you know, stuff that you're supposed to do as parents, like it's like your child owes you.
Mm.
And it's like, well, if they owe you, are you doing it to receive something or are you doing it because you love them? Because if you never receive that gratitude, would you stop doing it? Now, don't get me wrong. There's different lessons in that where I'm not going to keep giving you, and you don't, you know, there's lessons around that. But nonetheless, it was like we take things so personal that it can potentially put a strain on our relationship. Now we're bitter,
mm-hmm.
and we're reluctant to do certain things, what have you. So it was like my prayer was, God, please guide me in a way that I have no regrets as a parent.
Mm.
I know everything I'm not going to do is right, but help me to see and make those different corrections. So I've had conversation with Jada through middle school. High school was almost 1,000 times better. And just trying to instill in her in different things. Also understanding that she's a child just like I was.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of how great my mom was, I didn't make every right decision, knowing that it wasn't the right thing to do. So once again, my mindset was just, I'm going to instill in you what you do with that. That's up to you. But at least you have something to go back on.
Right.
It's not like you didn't know. So when I got the message from Jada, and there's so much more to the story, but when I got the message from Jada that she was moving out, I was at my men's group and I'm just looking at her, I'm reading. She texted me. I'm just like, okay. I mean, dumbest decision she could make ever. You know, she got two jobs. She's not paying that one single bill.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We've already had this, what I created, this financial seminar on how we do, you know, different things or whatever. But it was kind of like, okay, she want to move out. So I got home, went to her room. She's in there. She's looking all teary-eyed, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, hey, you want to go? You can go. Now, let's make it be clear. I'm not telling you to go. Mm-hmm. This is a decision solely that you came up solely by yourself. And the reason why I'm okay with it, Jada, is because I'm at peace with what I gave you.
Mm-hmm.
I have no regrets on how I raised you, from some of the not so great things to what I know that you have instilled in me. So when we talk about hate me now, thank me later, you're not going to make all the right decisions. You don't have the capacity to. You haven't seen enough life to, right? So what's important to Matt is another thing that we talk about, contract being over to consultant. I can't tell her what to do. She can consult me. She can ask me questions. I can even see some things and say and make an opinion or judgment about it. But I cannot tell her what to do. As my mom always said, you make your bed, you got to lay in it. I never understood that. But now I do. That's here nor there. So my biggest thing now as a parent is, at least I told you. So even she can be doing whatever. If I don't agree with it, I'll make it known.
Yep.
At least I know I told you. To where if you continue to do those things, because parents, we take things personal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, oh, well, I didn't. What could I have done different? I don't want to live with that.
Yeah.
So to put my peace at mind, I'm going to say something. How you take it, that's on you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I want to be that guidance. I'll go ahead and be that consultant. You know what I mean? So that's kind of where I am. Has it been easy to what you're saying? No, because as parents, we want the best for our children.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want them to make some of the same mistakes that we've made. But truth be told, we wouldn't be some of the people that we are if we didn't make those mistakes. So it's like, where do you, you know, kind of go with that? And I mean, that's just something I can't pinpoint, and I can't tell you as a parent, Matt, well, you need to do this. You need to do that. I would never be that.
Right.
I can just give you some tidbits on what I've done, whether or not they've worked, whether or not it's on you. Like if that's in you to do, that's on you. I'm not telling you I'm a parent, but this is what I've done. Right. And real quick, I just thought about this. because we had this parenting conversation at brunch the other day, but I was just like, when Jada was working in high school, actually even after high school, no, it was before she graduated, I had to take her to work. So I used to make her pay me for gas. Mm-hmm. And it was during high school too, where they started with the whole data plan with the phone and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, you've been doing fine without it. If you want it, you're going to pay for it. Mm-hmm. So it was $10 a month, whatever.
You're speaking she my got language Christmas right
money.
Now.
She gave me that money. So it was basically establishing a sense of responsibility, you know, that when you do start working, you got these checks, this is money that you're not going to have. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And the person next to me was like, well, I don't agree with that. And I'm like, you don't have to. You know what I mean? So the thing, I'm not taking gas and this and that. And I kind of let them do their thing. But here's the thing. When she graduated high school, every single dime Jada gave me, I gave it back to her. I didn't spend it. It was just a lesson to say, you're going to have to learn that when you get this check, you're going to have to take some money out for gas. You're going to have to take some money out for this bill. You're going to have to do that. So, you know, again, I can't tell that person what to do, but this is the way I've done it. Hopefully it helped her in the long run. And that's the way it is. So also on the hate me now, thank me later ordeal, the biggest blessings that I've had come from being a parent outside of her getting baptized are the random text messages where it's just like, thank you. Mm. Well, we go out on dinner, go out on our date nights, and she's just kind of talking about life in general. And some of the things that I've instilled in her, that's the blessings. That's the hate me now, thank me later, you know, type ordeal.
When she's talking about, are those in her 20s or those were in her late teens?
Oh, this is in like 20s. This is after she left the house.
Okay.
You know, so you know, just kind of hearing those different things, man. I mean, we're rap and sit and talk about, you know, her getting her butt whooped, and you know, she'll tell you like, nah. Like all my whoopings were justified. You know what I mean? I should say. Now we have a debate on one. We have a debate on one that she don't want to talk about. But nonetheless, man, so that's the type of relationship that we have. Those are the type of conversations that we're having. And you know, it's refreshing to be able to sit back and hear her say thank you for certain things. And you know, she's just, you know, being able to recognize some things a little bit different. And I think that whenever, maybe 20, 30 years from now, when she have a child, she'll be able to see, you know, more of those things, you know, come to fruition.
Yeah.
What she's actually having to do it herself.
I love that.
Bad, man. That was a lot.
No, man. Those were some gems right there for sure, man. So when I play this back, I'm going to be taking some more notes, some more copious notes on those pieces there. I love what you said around being at peace with what you gave her. And so, and not taking it personal as a personal attack because you decided to go another route or because you decided to make a different decision and just being at peace, knowing that you put your best foot forward. I think that's all we can ask for of anyone in our situation, in any situation in life, is just to put your best foot forward. And then around being able to give people, not necessarily what to do, but basically what you did. And so I like to tell with people, I like to share with folks when they ask me about best practices. Like, what's the best practice on this or this, that, and the third? I said, I don't have any best practices. I just have my practice. And so whether it works for you or not,
it ain't gonna work for everybody.
It's here or there. And so those are pieces that definitely resonated with me. And I love that you and your daughter are connected, having those conversations. I'm looking forward to those similar conversations with Madison and with my son Mason when he gets a little bit older as well. So this is great. This is great, brother. This has been really, really insightful. I learned a lot more. Even though I've probably known you, well, I would say almost damn near 25 years myself.
Yeah, it's been a while. Back to Olmsted. Yep.
So it's probably.
I just had 30. I was just at Miss Appleby. I was just at Miss Appleby and Miss Appleby's place, and Miss Tiffany was over. We talked for about 2 hours.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, man. Wow. Do you know Miss Tiffany's freaking 73, bro?
Are you kidding me?
73, man. Miss Appleby about to turn 70.
Oh my gosh!
So, but to the point of just impacts. Yeah. In general, like they're women, but they've had an impact, especially Miss Appleby.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, she gets a Christmas card every year. And I mean, we have those conversations, that dialogue. I don't go to Buffalo without visiting her. Same thing with Coach Rich. Yeah.
Not to interrupt you real quick, but even the fact that you are so, and I don't know how much Jada is seeing this, but the fact that you know how to maintain relationships. And like, that's a skill. Like a lot of people, I suck at that. Like, I am not the best person at maintaining relationships and like being that consistent across broadly speaking. I mean, there's some relationships that I'm very focused and intentional about, but the fact that you have those relationships with like elementary school teachers and high school coaches, I mean, that's just, that just speaks volumes. I mean, to just the type of person you are. And I think that anyone coming behind you being able to see that, I think they would definitely learn a lot from that, because relationships are super important, critically valuable. Some of us learn that value later in life, but nonetheless, just being able to have that, I think, is huge. So I'm sorry, I just wanted to just interject.
No, I mean, I appreciate that, because no one ever has told me that before. You know, I never even looked at the fact of, you know, just being able to maintain relationships. And you know, it kind of makes sense. It is, you do have to be intentional in doing so. And sometimes it's not received quite, not, I don't want to say it's not received well, but oftentimes when you're intentional about it, sometimes on the other end, it's kind of like, it's that, yeah, like I'm good, to where oftentimes it's like, I ain't hitting them up no more, but it's in my heart. Right. You know, that's when I try to tell people. You see people different. You see people posting like, check on who, check on you. Oh, not necessarily. They don't, you have a different calling and a different responsibility, you know, for life in general. So if you're checking on people that's checking on you, like you don't know, like you checking on somebody else, that changes their life. Mm-hmm. So just perspective different. That's all.
I love that. I love it. We could talk for another hour on this topic, but definitely want to say thank you again for just taking the time just to reconnect. Can you share a little bit about CIA Dash for anybody that wants to get connected, or with you, or with the DAG group? I don't know if it's open to everyone, but just anything you can share in terms of being able to connect with you and follow with you if anyone listening here wants to get in touch.
It is. So CIA Dash, it was just a support group. You know, I end up coming up with CIA Dad because as we're having these discussions with these men, and like I told you, it was a guy initially about a group of 10. We range from, you know, a guy in his 20s, no child yet, to a guy in his 60s that had children, you know, grandchildren and, you know, older children. But nonetheless, the basis of a lot of our conversations was always like, man, well, you know, you just got to be intentional. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you just, it's not you doing or saying anything. You just have to be available. Mm-hmm. Right. So with all that being said, it was like for a couple months, I'm looking back on my notes and all I keep seeing is intentional. It would be consistent. Just make sure yourself is available. So I'm looking at these words and I'm like, oh, CIA, you know, everybody know what CIA is. So, but ultimately though, man, CIA, I say CIA dad, but just be CIA person in any type of relationship that you're in. You know what I mean? Because that's what we need to continue to grow and strengthen our community. Just being consistent, being intentional, and being available in your relationships. But as we continue to go through and just making these changes in these men, man, some of these stories coming out of it is just profound. You know, and I mean, sometimes I feel like I'm not necessarily having an impact, or honestly, I don't feel like it this week. Let me go ahead and have this meeting anyway. And I'm transparent with the guys and I'm like, yo, I didn't feel like today, but you know, I mean, we on here, you know, right. We don't have an agenda, but oftentimes with us not having an agenda, those would be the best meetings.
Right.
One thing that we did early on, the idea was to pull back the layers on you as a father. And in order for us to do that, we had to take our men back to when they were children and what their fatherhood looked like. And one of the big things that came out of that, man, was I challenged the guys to write their fathers a letter. Just about, you know, as a father, you know, you look back on the relationship you guys had, spit it out. Some was, you know, the relationships were okay. Some was just like straight up, like, nah, like I'm good. Like, I ain't, you know, we straight, I ain't got to write the letter. But what I see just in men in general is that the longer they live with whatever animosity, they're functional. That's just like a functional alcoholic, right? You're functional, but you're hurting. Mm. You know what I'm saying? You're hurting inside. So challenge the guys to write the letter. Some did, some didn't. Some was just like, man, I ain't writing no letter. And some of the stuff that came out of that, man, times later, it's just like both times I cried. So it's one guy who got out of jail. He's had a strange relationship with his father and all that. And I'm like, write the letter. Like he said, F no. Like I don't rock with him like that, you know? And I'm just like, all right, you know, just leave it alone. So he wasn't coming to the meetings often, but I'll just hit him up randomly. Like, oh, you good? He's like, yeah, you know, I'm good. You know, we just kind of chop it up, whatever. Again, just trying to be intentional, because who else is doing that in his life? Mm-hmm. Probably nobody. Mm-hmm. So it was probably about a good 9 months that went by since we started the group, the letters and all that, man. And he pops on, didn't say a word. We're about to log off. And he was like, hey, I just wanted to say something. He was like, look, when I don't make it, that's because I can't make it. He said, but I wanted to make sure I share this story with you guys that that kind of changed my life. He's like, it was his father's birthday. He got invited to the party by his stepmom. And initially he was just like, nah, I ain't going. But then he said it immediately kind of went to, well, I need to pick him up a gift. And he was like, that's not me. He's like, I don't know where I'm getting all this stuff from. But anyway, so he goes into the party and he goes and put the gift at the cake. And he was proud of his gift. He was like, you know, it's my pops. So he said for the first time in his life, he found out how old his father was. Mm. The reason it changed his life was because he realized his father was 15 when he had him. Mm. All this stuff is circling back around and just kind of making sense. That's why I live with my grandmother. He was fit. That's why he stayed in the streets. He didn't know. So it's just like painting a picture for him. And he, to the point where he apologized to his father because of the way he treated him. Now, it doesn't make it condonable. It doesn't make it okay.
Yeah.
But it gives you a perspective to where it's just like, all right. And he thanked the group for that, because that's what we were encouraging each other to do, because oftentimes we're asking these mothers and fathers to be something that they don't know how to be. Mm-hmm. And then we're bitter and, you know, just kind of hating them for it. And it's just like, all right, what if your son hating you because you don't know how to play basketball? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He want to play basketball and you don't know how to play. You know, probably two different things, but hopefully you get the concept. So that one, and I know you got to go. It was another one where another guy, this was like, nah, like I'm good. Like our relationship's straight. You know what I mean? Yeah. We've overcome some of this, that, you know? And so that had to be October, November. Let's call it November 2019. Just recently, early May, he went back to Virginia to check on his father. Well, first of all, he finally ended up writing the letter. And he said his father called and just thanked him. They didn't talk about it, but he just thanked him. So he goes home, check on his dad, having some health issues in May of this year. So November 2019, May of 2021. He said he walked in the kitchen and his father had the letter framed and hung up. But this is the same guy that was like, nah, you don't know my father. He ain't gonna care about that. But yet this man got your letter framed and hung up. So we just try to create perspectives, man. Everybody come in there with an open heart, open mind, and just kind of ramble some stuff off each other. And a lot of times, man, it's not even about us. I can hit the group up and be like, look, you know, we're being mentors or support to other people. Like, yo, I got this situation. My man got a situation where blah, blah, blah. I don't know what to tell him, like, help. You know what I mean? So that's what it's about, man. Just kind of creating that platform, because again, men are prideful to open up and be vulnerable. Lack of communication, you know, we're not the best communicators for the most part. So we're just kind of giving these guys a safe place to just let it all out. You know what I'm saying? It. Just let it all out.
That's amazing. Amazing. And I'm so glad we stayed on for those two stories. I think those stories really nailed it for us on this one. Those are two beautiful stories. Yeah, I mean, we could probably write some books on both of those stories alone.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It'd be great.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, perspective. And that's with anything, like perspective is huge. And you just really never understand it until you put yourself in that other person's shoes. And so having empathy for your parents as a kid, and then also being able to share with your kids how important it is to have empathy for other people, including the parents, because again, the roles may switch at some point. And just having that just makes things a little bit easier to understand. And so, no, I appreciate that. And I thank you for those stories and sharing that perspective. And so just to, as we wrap up, how can someone get in contact with you, James, if they want to follow?
Shoot me an email. Actually, if you sorry, I'll go ahead and put it in the chat so you have it right now.
Okay.
That's cool.
Yep, but this is audio too, so we want to.
Yeah, so it's you can you can hit me at j.woodruffjr, j.woodruffjr. Don't clown me at hotmail.com.
Oh, Hotmail. Not AOL.com.
Might as well be, right?
I put it in the show.
And basically, I can give the just hit me there. And okay. Then because I send out a monthly meeting to the guys, and then I provide that Zoom ID. And even when I post it on social media, I say inbox me because this is for men. Right. However, we had a topic, dictatorship versus relationship, at one of our last meetings. And as I sent the stuff out on social media, it was on my heart to invite mothers.
Okay.
That was the first time we had moms on, and it was phenomenal.
Yeah.
But of course, they're like, "Well, can we come on more often?" I'm like, "Mm-mm, this is for us. Maybe once a quarter or something like that."
Yeah.
But yeah. So I mean, I'll just hit the Zoom ID, put you get whomever in the in our chat on GroupMe, and then that right there is your ticket. You know, we generally meet on Thursdays at 7 o'clock, actually kind of like every other Thursday or something like that, and kind of get it in.
Love it. Thank you, brother. This has been phenomenal. I will send out the make sure that the Hotmail email is in the show notes.
I'm not changing it either.
We'll go from there. No, as you shouldn't. You should not. No, it's all good. Appreciate you. This has been phenomenal. Thank you so much.
Thanks, bro. I appreciate it, man. Thanks for considering me.
Anytime.
All right. Take it easy.
Hi again. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to listen to another episode of the Live Long and Prosper podcast. As always, I hope that this podcast is adding a tremendous amount of value to you, your loved ones, and the community at large. Please, if you have not done so already, remember to subscribe to this podcast just to make sure you get all the latest notifications when we have a new episode. And if this is adding value to your life, as we hope it is, please share it with as many people as you think it will serve. Until the next time, everyone, live long and prosper.